Hi there, it's Wendy Snyder in for John Williams, and I want to say hello to an old friend of mine, artist, hang on, Tone. Tony Fitzpatrick, as Black Club Chicago refers to him, the lauded and loquacious Chicago artist, actor, and writer. Hey, Tone.
Loquacious, that means he talks too much.
You know, Tony, I haven't talked to you in a long time. We did a radio show together, and I witnessed the master at work. You used to do your drawings while we were on the air at the Loop.
Yeah, you were quite kind and patient about that. You know, and I appreciate it. It's like, I'm always drawing, you know, one thing or another. I mean, even now, I just put my pencil down so that we could talk. It's the story of my life. I mean, it's I drew my way to where I got to. You know, I mean, luckily I had a couple other small talents that I could trade on, but at the center of it was drawing pictures always. You know.
Yeah. I have five Tony Fitzpatrick masterpieces in my house. And, you know, when I worked with you, I was your bratty little sister and you were my jerky big brother. And I kept thinking, you know, if I kill him, his prints are going to be worth a lot more money.
Exactly. Exactly. I could kill him now and save the world a whole lot of trouble, you know.
Well,
hang on to them. They're actually worth a lot more money than they were when you got them, you know.
Oh, so, I know. I got to tell you, and then we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about your new studio. But I had Ike Riley on the air.
The great Ike Riley.
I felt really kind of stupid because I was really unaware of his music, which I'm not the only one. There's a documentary that came out, Don't Turn Your Back on Friday Night, and it's awesome. It talks about not only the music he writes and makes, but it's all about family, and he's got a wonderful, supportive family. And
oh, you bet he does!
It's just, and
you bet he does. His son Kevin works for me a little bit, and you know, he basically bred his own band. I mean, all of the sons are in the band now. You know, but yeah, I mean, you're not alone in that. I mean, it's always been a mystery to me why Ike was not a much bigger deal. You know, when Salesman and Racist came up, Penn Jillette called me and he goes, you got to know this guy, Ike Riley. He's from, like, around Chicago, Libertyville or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'd never
pen,
heard of
by
him.
The way.
Penn, oh, yeah, I can do Penn. Believe me, I've had practice. He sent me the record, and I wore it out. I just wore it out, and I went and saw Ike many times at, you know, the late and lamented Lounge Acts.
And the
Metro, and, you know, wherever he showed up. And finally we met in 2016, and it was like meeting, you know, a brother from another mother. We became instant friends. I did a couple of the album covers. And we grew into very close friends, and I could not be more happy for somebody arriving than I am for Ike. I mean, he has been through the ringer, and he's still standing, and he's still making great songs. You know, I've been blessed with being able to do two of the album covers. I think I'm doing the next one. And yeah, he's one of my heroes, one of my closest friends, and I love the music.
I mean, I do too.
I'm kind of kicking myself for me taking so long to find it. You know, I mean, in Chicago, he was here like right under our nose.
I know.
He worked for a hotel for a long time. Worked as a grave digger.
I know.
I mean, he's had a really interesting life, and you know, he's got this great story about checking in Donald Trump.
Yeah.
In the late 90s when he was with Marla Maples. So he goes through this whole dog and pony, gets him up to his room, makes sure you know, the orange one knows where everything is. And, you know, he's kind of waiting, you know, I mean, you know, when the bellman does all that for you, you tip the guy,
right.
You know, and Trump stiffed him,
oh.
You know, so about 3 days later, Mrs. Trump calls the hotel and says, there's a belt missing from one of my dresses. And, you know, they call down to the bell station. They ask Ike, I don't know anything about it. You know? I just know that cheap bastard stiffed me, you know. So the next date he is at Lounge Axe, he comes out for an encore and, you know, raises his left hand into the air in a salute to the audience. And you notice Mrs. Trump. Belt wrapped around his left wrist.
Of course.
The greatest thing in the world. It's like, the minute I heard that, that guy became my hero.
All right,
it's like, I want to be more like Ike.
Talking to artist extraordinaire Tony Fitzpatrick, you're also an actor. What have you been working on acting-wise besides Prime's Patriot?
I'm writing a new show for theater. That should go up sometime in June. You know, and we're talking again to Steppenwolf, and it'll be directed by Marika Mashburn. And it will also feature my son,
Max,
Nikki Deanna Brooks, my friend David Bonomi. And it's called The Sun at the End of the Road. It's about optimism during challenging times, you know, and I like what I got so far.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
I did four shows at Steppenwolf from 2010 to 2014, and I think this is the best one so far, you know. There's a lot of poetry and a lot of music, and who knows? I might even be able to rope Ike into some of this.
Oh, yeah. That's a good
idea.
I've
done lots of album covers, and I always tell the guys, like, you know, the Godfather, you know, one day I may require a service of you, that day may never come, but until that day, accept this as a gift, you know?
Steve Earle.
I'm just going to send everybody, yeah.
Lou Reed.
I'm just going to send everybody a text. That day has come.
Yeah, Ike Riley. And do you talk to Penn at all anymore?
Frank Catalano. I do his. I do a lot of jazz covers now.
Yeah.
Penn, I talk to him all the time, almost every day. You know, we text and email back and forth. And they're doing Fool Us, which is, you know, going gangbusters. And they're doing the show in Vegas. Teller has had back surgery and a heart surgery, and, you know, God
Jeez.
Love him. And, he's over 80 years old, and he's still doing
what?
The show.
didn't know.
All of a sudden, Wendy, we blinked our eyes. 30 years went by, and we're all old. I mean, you know.
I know. Last time I remember, we were on a bus with listeners and Penn Jillette telling the dirtiest bear joke I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, man, the bear joke.
Yeah. Can't do it on the air.
You didn't really come here to hunt, did you? You know? Yeah.
All right, so wait.
It's a filthiest joke with the cleanest punchline you've ever heard.
I know. All right, so you have a new studio. I see the awesome little doggies that come by to say hi, and you've drawn cats, dogs, bugs, birds. Now you're back to dogs, and where can we come visit you?
At 2034 North Damon Avenue.
Do you have dog treats?
Do I have what?
Dog treats.
Oh, God, do I have dog treats. You know how many different kinds of dog treats I have? Now, for the older dogs, I give them the soft treats, which are the health treats, which are good for their hips.
Yeah.
Good for old dogs with kind of weak teeth. Or, you know, I've got one dog that only has one tooth, and he can still gum them down. And then I have the Mother Hubbard health treats.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
I hand those out. And it's all part of my evil plan. I mean, all the folks come in, and I give the dogs treats every day. And pretty soon now, the dogs just pull them into my studio. And then they start looking around at the walls, and it's like, oh, you're an artist. It's like, yeah, I happen to be an artist.
A great one. You are so talented, yeah. Tony, and you never cease to amaze me. I mentioned to Bob Surratt that you were going to be on with me today, and he said, yeah, how's he doing with the White Sox? I've always been a Sox fan.
I was so happy
you became a Sox fan, but yeah, so go ahead.
Oh, no, I've always been a Sox fan.
Oh, okay,
since,
good.
From the time I was 6 years old.
All right, good for you.
You know, but I have to tell you, you know, if Reinsdorf deigns to sell them to some other city, I would rather that than spend one thin dime of taxpayer money on financing a stadium for a billionaire. No. You know, he pulled this crap once and got away with it. Never again. You know, and the White Sox are beloved to me. No matter where they go, I will be a fan. No, you know, the city of Chicago, with its, you know, facing the many financial crises as it is, not one dime to finance a billionaire's stadium. To hell with this guy. You know, I mean, so be it. You know, I mean, if he sends him to Nashville, I'll be a Nashville White Sox fan. I will always love the White Sox.
And the team has to start doing something. Come on, let's win a game. Embarrassing.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, this year was like, I only made one game this year, and honest to God, it was like watching a train wreck in slow motion. You know, and like,
it was
like
a quality kill, Tone.
Yeah, no kidding. You know, and the whole league participated.
Yeah.
It was like that scene in Goodfellas, and the White Sox were Billy Bats, and every other team in the Major League Baseball was Robert De Niro and Joe Pesci. You know, I mean, it was, man, it was awful. Oh.
All right. Well, you are loquacious. I got to hit news, but listen, 2034 North Damon.
For the World Series?
Who are you pulling for the series? I don't know. Who are you?
Anybody but the Yankees. I hate nothing like I hate the New York Yankees.
All right, go Dodgers.
You know, so, go Dodgers, exactly. Yeah, 2034 North Damon. Come out by, say hi, bring your dog.
All right, say hi to Michelle and Gabby and Max.
All right, say hi to your kids, and especially that genius guitar player you got.
Oh, Michael, yes. You should do an album cover
Absolutely.
For him.
That day will come.
All right. You didn't call me Wendella. We got through the whole interview, and you didn't call me Wendella. I'm really heartbroken.
Okay, Wendella, I will talk to you soon.
All right, love you, Tone. And we didn't play the Barney Rubble laugh, because that's what he sounds like when he laughs. All right, Tony Fitzpatrick.